This morning we're going to do something a little different. I just pray that God richly blesses you through that. I have asked for three different guys to come up and do the message. Well, actually four, that's me. But I'm not the primary message giver in this particular message this morning. I've asked that William will come up in a moment, and he's going to give his message, a 5 to 10 minute message. He keeps telling me two. I keep telling him seven. Steve keeps saying amen, keep it low. And then after William will be Tim. Tim's going to come up and share a 5 to 10 minute message. And then after Tim comes up, Olin's going to come up and share a 5 to 10 minute message. And now each one has not collaborated with the other. They have not communicated with each other what they're going to share. And what we're going to, the objective here is obviously to bring glory to God. But I want to see how God ties in each message to make one complete message from God the Holy Spirit. And so together as we listen, you know, think about how they're tying in and how it's fitting together, and then collectively come up here and summarize it at the end. But I want to encourage you guys with two verses, because it takes a step of faith. I've challenged them all. It's William's step of faith in English, because that's a challenge for him. It's a step of faith for Tim. He's not stood up here before in front of everybody. And it's a challenge for Olin, too, because it's a different dynamic. It's stretching, right? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So it's his strength. And Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. With God nothing shall be impossible. So rely on him, see what he does, and we will open up with a word of prayer. And you guys feel, you know, probably will feel more comfortable praying as well when you come up here. And if not, that's okay. Father, I just pray that you will bless, that you will accomplish your work, that all of us will witness you having put this message together, and I pray it'll glorify you. Thank you again for the worship, Father. Thank you for your Spirit for bringing us into your presence, and thank you for just each one of us being here today. May we walk away rejoicing in you, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. So I'm going to ask William to come on up.
Good morning. God bless. Father, thank you this morning, Father. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, your infinity love. Father, open my hearts and our hearts to receive the message. In the name of Jesus, amen. This morning, I want to talk about the enjoy the grace of God for several things. Number one, because for you to understand me in English, you need the grace of God. Absolutely. Number two, because the Christian life can only be lived by grace. The grace is something we do not deserve. It is the word of God in our life that gives you, that gives our strength and help us to live the purpose of God. It is the love of God reflected on the cross. Nobody is a Christian by chance or will. We were chosen by God for his glory. Romans 8:5 said, excuse me, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this, well, we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the greatest sample of love, mercy, and grace. That you die for who does not deserve it. We should have died for our sins, but the grace found us. The grace of God not only covers our sins through the cross, it also takes care of our life and helps us to strengthen in all circumstances. in affliction, in suffering, because it gives us security that we are under the care of God. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 79, said, He gives more strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. The great gives strength in our weaknesses, and we will realize the impossible for us. God made us an instrument for His glory. The principles of grace, number one is, the grace transforms us. In Ephesians chapter 1, 7, said, And Him we have the redemption through blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the righteousness of God's grace. By His blood, we were saved, giving us a position as children of God. Amen. Number two, the grace helps us to live a life dependent on God. In Psalms 121, verse 1 and 2, the Bible said, Light up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The care of the Christian's life is dependent on God. For example, it's my example. Because I don't speak English well, but my heart is willing to God. Amen? We must trust in the protection of God depending on His grace. The benefits of grace is, number one, we were declared riches. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a legal degree God frees us from all guilt. By the grace, Jesus took my place and paid my sin. Amen. Number two benefit is the grace of God is to enjoy it. In John chapter 8, verse 32 said, Then you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We must accept God's forgiveness and enjoy grace. You don't have to carry guilt because God forgives you. Enjoy that forgiveness. We must be a minister of the grace of God. Number one, using the gifts. Serving in the kingdom. It's the way to be faithful to God for all His blessings. The time is not ours. It's from God. We must change our priority and focus on the kingdom. If we take care of time, we could bless others. The question is, how many lives have you blessed using the grace that God has given you? Let me pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to share the gospel. Father, your word has been preached. Thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, amen.
This wasn't necessarily easy to come up with this. And standing before everybody, it's not always easy to do. But it's what we're called to do. We're called to be stretched. So here I am. Bear with me. We'll pray here first. Father God, thank you for this opportunity to serve you, to stand before this congregation today and be stretched to do what you've called us to do as men, as followers of Christ, to be strong and step forward. May all of us do this in our walk with you and not be afraid. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, well, we'll just get at it. Talent on loan from God. This is a quote from Rush Limbaugh, and as I found out, actually, there's a few others that have used it too. But while Rush Limbaugh may not be a popular individual with some, for others he is. But beyond Rush, I want you to think about the quote, talent on loan from God. Also, think about this. What did we have to do with the country we were born in or the family we became part of? The answer is nothing. It's the same as the natural talents we have on loan from God. If we look at Matthew 25:14-23. Oh, we got it. Cool. The parable of the talents. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to the other 2, and to another 1, and to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who received 5 talents came and brought five other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Excuse me. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. The talent in this parable was a large sum of money, about 6,000 denarii. 1 denarii was about a day's wage for a typical working man. According to Wikipedia, this parable is the origin of the use of the word talent, which we use today, which means gift or skill. And if it's in Wikipedia, it must be true, right? See? I told you I'd get the last. It says right here, wait for last. Okay. All right. So back to the story. Each servant was given money according to his ability. Now, the word ability is dunamis in Greek. The term is used 120 times in the New Testament. It can also mean power or miraculous power. Our dunamis, our ability, our talent isn't merely a skill we've developed. It's a supernatural empowerment God has for us that we can grow and multiply. We didn't earn our initial talents, but once we take the responsibility of what we're given, we will be rewarded with so much more. Notice that the servants had to do something with the talents their master gave them. It wasn't an easy gift where they could lie back and enjoy it and do nothing with it if they didn't want to. They had to make it grow. They had to multiply what they were given. So many people neglect their gifts because there is too much hard work or responsibility required. Therefore, they often give up their gift or they lose it. Our gift shouldn't scare us. It's all we need to be able to produce fruit. But there's one condition that we have to meet. We need to accept the responsibilities the gift requires. When we work with our gift, more will be given. And that's all I've got. But I kind of want to go off script just a little bit from that. So this is, excuse me, tongue-tied, didn't write this part down. This is all about talent. God's given us talents, each one of us talents and abilities to do things. And there's a lot of times we don't even realize that we have these talents. It's not till we stretch ourselves and search ourselves and ask God what it is he'd have us to do for him. We all have gifts that he's given. Once we figure what those are, it's our responsibility now to step forward, step up on stage like this. I don't envy Pastor Terry in what he does, because this was difficult for me, but it was a challenge that was handed to us, and it's to glorify God. So that, I think, is the biggest thing to take from this. Find our talents. Stretch our talents. See how far we can take them to glorify God. We are a small church, but we can make a big impact. Seek what your talents are to help in that impact. I think I went over a little over 4.5 minutes. I was kind of going to ask for a timer just to see where I could go with it for fun. But anyway, that's all I have, and thank you very much. Praise God. I'll end with a prayer. Thank you, Lord, for getting me through this. And I pray, Father, that all hearts and minds were open to this message that you had. Not all of these words were my own, but, Father, you asked myself to step forward and others to deliver a message, and hopefully that's what happened here. May we all stretch our talents. May we strive to serve and glorify you, even when it sometimes is scary. Thank you that you give us the strength and power to do it. In Christ's name, amen.
Just in case I want to phone a friend. So good morning, everybody. I don't have any papers. I don't have really much. I'm not the type of person to... I'm more of kind of just off-the-cuff type of a person. If it gets on my heart, I speak it. I do terrible at preparing because I've done it in the past. I helped with a wedding with a couple, and I put all these papers together, and I looked online to get a little template, and I had it all together. And I was like, when we were doing the wedding, I was going through the pages, and it was terrible. I didn't know where I read anything, and then I just like stopped, and I just started talking, and it was perfect. So I didn't really prepare anything, but I did have God show me what it was that he wanted me to talk about, and I'll tell you how that came to be. I didn't know what, when Terry asked a week ago, hey, can you guys prepare a message 5 to 10 minutes? I was like, oh, okay, yeah, sure, whatever. You know, I got a week, you know, to think about it. Plenty of time. And the whole week, you're busy. I mean, you got kids, you got work, you don't have time to find out what it is that you're going to talk about, or what it is that you just put it on the back burner. And the way the world works is that it just sucks up all your time. So I called Terry, or actually Kathy called me or texted me and said, hey, do you have any verses? What verses are you using? And I'm like, I don't know. I haven't even thought about what I'm talking. And this is like, you know, a couple days to go. And I said, I'm confused. I thought we were just going to like tell a testimony about something. You know, like I was getting almost like, now the pressure's on. I need to find a verse or something. And she said, call Terry. So I called Terry. And Terry, I told her the same thing. And he goes, you know what? Just, you're pressed for time. You don't, you know, your life is busy. Just tell God, you know, when... Ask God specifically, God, I don't have time. Tell me what it is that you want me to talk about. And he told me that, and I was like, I hung up the phone. I was like, I don't have much time. And then it just hit me. God's like, you need to talk about time. So I was like, okay, now I know what I need to talk about. But now I don't have the time to really look into what I'm going to say. So I just put it away, and I thought, you know what, God will take care of it. You know, I knew that there was still a sense of peace, even though I knew what I was going to talk about, that I knew that it was going to come. I don't know when or at what time. And so the next day, which was yesterday, my brother was supposed to pick me up at 6:30 in the morning. We were supposed to go to Hanford and pick up a bunch of stuff and come back home. So I got everything ready. I woke up. I got my coffee ready, and I go outside at like, you know, 6:25, and I'm sitting next to my truck drinking my coffee, and the sun's coming up, and I thought, and then like 10 minutes had gone by. It's like 10 or 6:40 now. And I'm thinking, hey, it's kind of late, you know? And I started to get worried. I was like, man, this is bad timing. You know, here I am out. It's kind of cold. He should have picked me up already, but he's not here, you know? And then I was sitting there, and I see the sun coming up a little bit. I was like, man, this is a nice morning, you know? And I felt God go, he goes, be still and know. And so I was, okay, there's my message. So I was sitting there, and I was being stilling and being knowing, and I knew exactly what I was going to talk about. I was going to talk about how there's no such thing as bad timing, but there's bad use of time. See, I could have took that time and said, you know what, this is bad timing, he's late, he's not going to come pick me up, you know, but I chose to use the time. It wasn't, you know, everything that we do is in God's time. Everything is on a time frame. We wake up, it's time to wake up, it's time to brush my teeth, it's time to go to school, it's time to go to work, it's time to apologize to somebody, it's time to go help that person, it's time to realize what time it is. Everything is based off of time. But what we need to switch our focus on is it's not our time. Like, what do I have time to do? Right now, I have time to go do this. It's not our time. It's God's time. Everything that we do is in God's time. There's no such thing as bad timing. You could walk out and, you know, like, you know, that person threw the ball and I stepped in front and hit me in the face. Oh, that was bad timing. Well, you know what? You gave an opportunity for that person who is just, you know, studying, you know, how to help somebody get hit in the face. They're using that time valuably to help your face. You know, where you don't know how God is working in your life, you know? You'd never know. And so I think the message that I'm trying to get at is that when we're faced with an opportunity and the enemy's going to attack you and try to say that this is not your time to go help that person. This is not your time to go be, you know, sorrowful or pitiful or tell somebody that, you know, something mean out of, you know, the enemy gives you fear and anxiety and he gives you anger. All that stuff comes from the enemy. So if you start using those things in the time that you have that God's given you as a gift to express those things in a negative way, that is not what God wants you to do. And so I think that we need to realize when an opportunity comes where you have time to take advantage of what God puts in front of you, you need to take advantage of it. Because this world is bad, and we're running out of time. It's the end. This is the end of this life. We're at the end. And people need to know God. And we need to ask ourselves, what time is it for us? It's time for us to reach others who don't know what time it is for them. That's what I got.
So did any of you catch?
Oh, hold on, real quick. Hold on. Sorry, I had a verse here, and this is totally another time thing. And actually, a couple other. Sorry, I'm.
No, I'm teasing you.
See, it was time for me to come back up to stage.
It's emphasis.
Carolyn last night asked. She goes, "Well, what are you going to talk about? Because I'm not going to be at church, so I don't know what you're going to talk about." And so I told her everything that I was just saying, and she goes, "Do you have any verses or whatever?" And so I said, yeah, let me look it up. Everything that I just said, how there's a time for this and a time for that, I didn't plan what verse I was going to use. I just went to the Bible, and I clicked time, and it popped up. I'm sure a lot of you already know these verses, but it's in Ecclesiastes, and it's a time for everything. And I started reading it, and I was like, there's a time for everything in season. And it says, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to build up, a time to laugh, a time to dance, a time to... And I was like, are you kidding me? Everything that God put on my heart about what certain times are, it's already in here. It's like he tells us what time it is. And it's for us to realize what he has in our lives for what time it is. So there was that, which is another God story. And then this morning, we're sitting in the car, and I told Carolyn, I was like, I bet you everything's going to, it's just going to come together. William's deal at the end of his last thing was, we need to realize that it's not our time, it's God's time. Well, that's interesting. He didn't, you know. And then we're sitting in the car coming to church this morning, and Caleb was on, and it was, all the music was done, and the guy said something. He goes, love is a four-letter word, T-I-M-E. I was like, what? You know, like God is always working, always. We just have to open our eyes and realize that he is always working. I think that's it. We'll see what how much time Terry's got.
Well, it's the pastor. It's the preacher time. That's great. That was great. Because did you catch a hold of what the connection was between each message? Let me share it with you. But I'm going to share, first of all, how proud I am of each of you. Because did you see how God is, do you see how God is changing William from the first time he got in the pulpit to today? You see how much more confidence and how much clearer he is? God is working. He's doing his work. Tim, you came up, and one of the things I know about Tim that he, in his own personality, is the insight that he gets from the Word, and how you shared that, and your own style was great. You did a great job, and you're right. It's not easy to come up here. And I will tell you this, that I told Steve this morning, my own personality, I've told you 100 times, is I don't like being in front of people. I get uncomfortable with that. And yet God has called me to step out in faith. Every time I come up here, of course it's easier in a church family, I always have a little sense of anxiety. Okay, Lord, here we go. Because I'm getting in front of everybody and they're looking for something. And that's very difficult for me. And so my natural tendency, believe it or not, is shy in front of people. Okay? And then Olin has his style of insight. And it's so cool to hear how God revealed it, because he unfolded before you what he wanted you to share. But then he came back and supported that by experiences in those 2 days. And that was really cool. But each one of the things that were shared tied in with each other. And it started out, now, William, I want you to remember this, okay? When I asked William to do the men's devotion, and he gave that a couple of weeks ago, it was on be obedient, be courageous, and what else? Be men of action. You guys did that. But God spoke through you, William, and it stuck with them. It stuck with me. And I'm sure it stuck with others. And when we put it to action, that's the key. And that's what William started out by saying. William was simply saying that we've been saved and called and we've been given grace. So how have we been using the grace that God has given us? God's given us grace. That's his favor, his goodness, his kindness, what he wants us to have in our own abilities. He's given that to us to use for him. And so that tied right into, you know, the challenge to the men's devotion, to the challenge of what William was saying, that God said he's given us grace. And now how do you use the grace that God has given you? And then Tim steps right up and he talks about talents. Well, how William said, how do you use the grace that God has given you? Tim came up and said, I'll tell you how. Okay? Remember, they didn't collaborate with each other. They didn't talk to each other. And so Tim comes up and makes it plain. He says, use your talents. Don't lose your talents. Use your talents. I want you to look around this sanctuary this morning. There is a scripture that said God will prune his church. But pruning always brings forth growth. The pruning is down to the most... the power of the plant. So as we look around, this is who God is talking to us to this morning. God is saying, I want you to, one, rejoice that I'm saved, that you're saved. Two, use the talent that I've given you. Discover what it is. If you feel compelled to do something, no matter how insignificant you may think it is, go and get involved and do it. And let God begin to reveal to you your specific talents. What I love about that passage of scripture is that God gives more. Unfortunately, others will say, I don't want more. That's not the right answer. Because the more we experience the power of God's talent working through us, the closer we are to Him and the more He's glorified. Don't lose the talent, but accept the responsibility. Nolan comes up and he says, take time with God. Or time has been given to us. Take time with God. And I yelled out Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. And he told you that while you're waiting for your brother. Okay, here's some time. Be still and listen. Okay. Right? And you're listening, right? And still and then the Holy Spirit worked on him and said, well, how do I use my time? Well, you use your time to help. You use your time for opportunities. You use your time where you can be used by God's plan and purpose for you. Everything we do is in God's time. And that's a great perspective, because if we can walk in tune with God to where we know that our day is planned out by God and we're in step with God's plan for each day, that's utilizing the time that God gives to us, right? And so everything we do is in God's time, and we're to take advantage of the time God gives us. And Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8, a time for this and 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 this. But that's something that Solomon learned from God. God told him, there is a specific time for each of these things. How do you know this? When to act upon that specific time? When we walk in God's grace and do what he's called us to do, the specifics of when, where, and how, he will make it known. And that's our call till he calls us home. That's our call until he calls us home. We do not have the privilege in Christ to say to God, I am done. I have done my work. God has never given us that latitude. We don't have that latitude if we're following Christ. Because as long as we're taking breath, as long as we're here, as long as we can think, God wants to use us with his grace, by his talent, in any given situation for his glory. And we need to remember that. So praise God, huh? God gave a message today. Connected it all. It was all in sync. And that tells me one final thing before I close in prayer. That's the message from God. Individual messages put together. Collectively, the message is clear. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's God talking to us right now. And we need to put it to action, don't we? Do we? The more we're involved, the more we're helping and involved in God's kingdom work together, the more we encourage each other and build each other up, and the more effective we are for him and his kingdom. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you so much for blessing this. Thank you, Father. I pray that you would give a special blessing to William, to Tim, excuse me, and to Olin. I pray, Father, please, that not only have they experienced something new by you in their life this morning, but that we have been reminded and will take the challenge. They took the challenge to be obedient, to be courageous, and to take action. We've been given that challenge, that we will use the talents that you have given us. If we don't know what they are, we will seek out your will, and that you will reveal to us what those talents are. No matter how small, no matter how unseen or how large and seen, that we will desire to know the talent that you've given us, the grace that you've given us, and that you will give us the faith and the courage and the love and obedience to use those talents to the fullest degree that you would have us to. And to embrace you giving us more. Not as a burden of work. Not as a burden that says I'm tired. But that those talents will generate a fire, an expectation, and a joy in you that will fill us with the energy and the joy in you that you want us to have. So, Father, as a church in these last days, as your people, as light that are called to cut into darkness. As your people, the body of Christ, are called to unite as one body in you, effectively working for your kingdom work. Let us be that in greater, not sense, but in reality. Let us see it. Let us experience it. Let us be in wonder and awe at your hand working through that, that souls might be saved, that people might be called, that Christians will stand and be the loving light of Jesus in the world of darkness that we live in, that is so desperately needed. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. And God's people said, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.